Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Focus on Albany. My guest today is Randy Kaniska, and he's here to talk about not only the voting irregularities that happened in the DeCoto's primary, but also the political undercurrents that are going on in DeCoto's. Randy, how are you?
Cindy, good morning. We're doing this redux and technical difficulties.
Right.
I hope
nothing
works when you want it to work.
Absolutely. So there were some voting irregularities during the primary. Can you give us an idea of what went on?
Well, from what I understand went on is you had some folks up in the 5th Ward, which is the ward that borders the town of Colony, and in Cohoes we affectionately call that the hill, the top of the hill, actually. And you had a number of folks who were allowed to vote that shouldn't have voted. Now, the way the law is, if you or I walk into, any polling place on election day, we go in, we give the person our name, and they go looking through the book. And if we're in the book, then that's great. We sign the book, and we go and vote. If we're not in the book, what should happen, if you want it to happen, is you should be issued a what's called a provisional ballot. And you would take that ballot, you would go off to the side, you would fill out the ballot, you would sign the ballot, turn the ballot in. At that point, the local board of election would make a determination and say, okay, this person is a registered these people were not given provisional ballots. They were allowed to vote on the machine, right, which caused a big problem. And I don't know, they say it was, is an error by the poll inspector. Well, what caused the error? Was it, a lack of training?
Right.
Was it, were they new? What was the deal? So hopefully, Matt Klein and the folks down there, have done their investigations and have been able to make a determination to ensure that, this doesn't happen again.
So was it just one particular ward, or was it throughout the city?
Well, according to the Board of Elections, it was one particular ward, that they went through everything. So I would, I can only go by what they have said.
Okay. Now, did this ever happen before in Cohoes?
Cynthia, I'm sure you would probably have to go back many years. Look, there are long tales about, how the corrupt, Democratic machine would, would alter the elections. There were stories of Erastus Corning, throwing the machines in the Hudson River and all these things.
Right.
And to be honest with you, looking into the history there, there is a degree of truth to some of the shenanigans that went on during, the O'Connell years. And in Cohoes, we had our own little mini machine run by Big Mike Smith. So, to say that Big Mike didn't fool with the elections, who knows. But I'm sure there were those things that happened, years ago. But I think in modern times, I think the vote has been pretty much, secure and above board, but who knows?
Wow. Now, because of the irregularities in that particular ward, would that have made the outcome of the mayor's race any different?
Well, it could have. If the mayor's race, I think the mayor's race ended up being decided by around 100 votes, so in a scenario where the mayor's race was decided by, maybe 20 votes, you could have had a situation where you'd have to redo the mayor's race. So, this is a serious thing. I hope that an investigation is done by, you know, the state board and the county board to determine, you know, hey, what happened here? You know, we can't, you know, we can't be having these types of things going on when races are, you know, when they're this close, you know, when it's every vote. Well, it shouldn't happen, period, right? You shouldn't have these things happen, period. But when you have races that are decided by a vote here, a vote there, you know, and every vote is going to count, well, you better make sure you get the vote right.
Okay. Wow. So there's also, you know, from what I understand of what I read on Facebook, is that there's a lot of bad blood between the mayor, Mayor Morse, and former Mayor John McDonald. Can you tell me the basis of that, those problems?
How much time do you have?
As much time as you need.
Well, I think the basis of those problems go back probably at least a decade. Longer than a decade, maybe two decades, actually. Look, I think you have two people that are polar opposites, and I know both of them pretty well. They're just they're about as opposite of a human being as you could possibly get, whether you want to call it, you know, oil and water, whatever you want to call it. And I think it's just kind of like a biological, you know, a thing, you know, between the two, that they just do not get along. I don't think they've ever gotten along, you know, and I think it's just you know, they probably should get along. We all should get along, right? With the quote, I don't know if he's dead, but the quote, the great Rodney King, right? Why can't we all just get along?
Right.
We can't all get along, but we can't, right? We know that. And these two guys are just very different human beings. And, Sean's position as the head of the Coast Firefighters Union and John's position as the mayor, you know, that kind of sets the stage for – conflict, you know, no matter who the mayor and the union head is, right? You're going to have conflict. Those are two positions where you're probably going to have some conflict, right? And I think the mayor made some decisions during his time that Sean did not agree with. And look at Sean, fights hard, fought hard when he was head of the union, fought hard for the firefighters. You know, and that created the animosity that, carried forward, till today, you know, when you heard the famous, the now famous, voicemail that was left, for, John's brother. And I shouldn't laugh, but it is just one of the classic piece of tape, one of the most classic pieces of tape, you're ever going to hear. But that's Sean, right? I mean, we know. And so it continues on.
So when there was calls for Sean to step down, do you think that the origins of that happened in Cahos?
Yeah, it's the origin. You're talking to the origin, okay? You're talking to the origin. I was the only one. I was the only elected official. I was the first and only elected official to call for the mayor to resign. That is well-documented record. And I'm not, Cynthia, I'm not ashamed of that. Look at it. I stand by that. That's it. As time went on, others, came onto that, bandwagon, so that was, I was the origin of that back in, back when all this first started back, was it 2 years ago? When all the allegations, first surfaced, John McDonald did not call for the mayor to resign at that time, nor did anybody, if you recall, I'm going to do a little forgotten history for all the folks in my city. If you go back to when all this first started, everybody supported the mayor, the Coase Democratic Committee, the chairman of the committee, Everybody, nobody said that the mayor, the president of the Common Council, the majority of the Common Council, actually all of the members of the Common Council, nobody said that Sean had to go. Nobody knew what to do. Everybody was just kind of thinking that, well, you know, this is just a irregularity here, and you know, Sean is going to be fine. Well, you know, I knew that wasn't the case. And then as time went on, you know, more and more things transpired, and more people decided, well, now we're going to be against Sean. And the only reason they did that, because they knew he, as you know, the weaker he got, they said, well, we can't support this guy anymore. And well, that's politics. You know, that's politics.
Mm-hmm.
But I was the only one, even before the allegation, Sean and I battled from day one. When we first took office, we battled about policy. We battled about his position on the IDA. We, you know, all these things now that everybody says, oh, well, you know, back 3 years ago, there was nobody saying anything except me, you know. So I have the scars. You know, I fought the war. I battled the fight. And that's fine. And now everybody is out there, you know, claiming their own victories, and that's perfectly fine, and that's politics. But to answer your question, no, the origin, you know, you're talking to the origin.
Oh, okay. So that there was a number of elected officials, plus the governor of the state of New York, who were calling for Sean's ouster.
Well, if you look at the time. Well, wait a minute. If you look at the timeline of that was almost a year after the initial report of abuse. That was almost a year after when I said for him to resign. And I think at that time you had reports of there were reports that surfaced about child abuse. And I think that once those reports surfaced, then you had the governor, the assemblyman, the senator, the county. Then you had everybody, you know, kind of say, okay, well, you know, this guy needs to go.
Okay, but, you know, Cuomo oversees the entire state.
Correct.
Do you think he overstepped his boundaries in calling for something to happen in Cohoes?
Well, as a politician, you know, no. He has a right to speak his opinion as the governor, to say that you know, this person you know, should resign.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Sean did not. I think Sean's response was, you know, he's the most corrupt governor there ever was. You know, again, classic Sean.
Okay.
Right? I mean, you know, and that was Sean's right to say that, right? I mean, look, it was my right to say that Sean should resign, and it was others' rights to say that he shouldn't. I mean, look, we all have the right to, if we believe that somebody should, you know, step aside, then that's our right to say that. You know, the legal mechanisms as such is, as you know, are different.
Okay, now we're going to have a new mayor in Cohoes. We're going to have Bill Keeler. And Bill will, you know, have power as mayor. And since there was bad blood between Sean and Assemblyman McDonald, do you envision the same thing for Bill Keeler, or do you think, like, McDonald will say, okay, I had my day, it's Bill Keeler's day to get everything, you know, up and running in Cohoes?
Yeah, I don't see any bad blood, you know, there. I know that John, you know, stayed out of the primary, as, you know, as to be expected, you know, in his position as the assemblyman. He didn't want to get involved in that. So that's, you know, that's fine. I don't think there's any, you know, ill will along those lines. And I think that John, certainly throughout his time as an assemblyman, has, you know, respected the role of mayor, whether it was Mayor Primo, Mayor Morse, or if it's, you know, Mayor Keeler. That he will respect that these folks, you know, that they're the mayor, and that
right.
John will do his best as he does, you know, throughout his district to benefit the constituents of that district, right? Whether it's through, I know John was instrumental in getting the money for Coase Boulevard, you know, John and Neil Breslin, you know, but that's their job, mm-hmm. you know, Cynthia, that's their job, right? Their job is not to run mm-hmm. The cities within their districts. Their job is not to micromanage, right? Their job is to represent the people and to, as they say, you know, bring home the bacon, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think John and Neil have been, you know, they've been successful in that.
Okay. Coase is going to have a new mayor soon.
Mm.
And do you anticipate continued turmoil in Coase, or will things settle down and the new mayor will govern and everybody will live happily ever after?
To answer your question, I don't envision happily ever after. I think we've really turned a corner in our politics here. You know, traditionally that's been the case. You know, a mayor, we've kind of thrown out tradition. We've never had a situation where an incumbent Democratic mayor has been ousted by a fellow Democrat in the history of our city. That's never happened. In the 60s, mm-hmm. it happened, but it wasn't an internal Democratic primary. It was a third party that ousted the Democrats. So mm-hmm. this is unprecedented mm-hmm. in our history. I think there was a lot of bad blood. This was kind of like the Civil War. You had family against family, brother against brother, neighbor against neighbor. You had four candidates. So to say that that's just going to all, you know, January 1st, that's all just going to, you know, go away and everybody's going to, you know, love Bill. I don't think that's going to happen. I think he's going to be in a very unique position among mayors coming in. I think people are going to be looking at him to say, okay, well, you know, let's get the results here. And they're going to be looking for results very, very quickly. There's going to be very high expectations for a new mayor mm-hmm. to get results. Right. And I think you could say that is because of all that's going on in 3 years, all that the administration, the current administration was able to do. But I think you're going to have a lot of political agitators out there that are going to be, you know, I think attacking him on day one. I don't think there's going to be much of a honeymoon here for the new administration. So I think this is a new era in politics of our city. I think people are just going to be out there. They're going to be more involved. You're going to have more elections that are contested, council races, mayor's races. I don't think people are just going to be left to be unopposed anymore. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. You know, Cynthia.
Right.
That keeps everybody honest, right? It keeps everybody on their toes. When you just glide along, you know, nobody's going to run against me, and I don't have to do anything. You know, I don't know if that's a good thing. I think opposition, healthy opposition, is a good thing, and it benefits the citizens. The problem is, in a small city, you know, it gets very, very personal. You know, again, these are our family, these are our neighbors, these are people who we see when we get our coffee every morning, and it gets very, you know, it gets very personal in a small town. So that's, you know, something that we have to work on. And social media does not help that cause, to say the least. So, you know,
Why do you think social media is a detriment rather than a benefit?
Social media is a detriment because it has taken individuals, and I'm going to say this, individuals who are really disturbed people, okay? And I'm not talking about I'm not attacking people who are mentally ill. But, Cynthia, there are people on here that have said things. I had a guy who really thought and believed that I hacked into his computer. He really believed that. Now I couldn't hack into a a garage door, let alone somebody's computer. So these, you know, these people who would normally be, you know, in their basement somewhere doing God knows what, but they're now out in the world and they now have their own little platform, right? And you may have a couple hundred people, you know, following what these people say. So they now have themselves, oh, well, I have a platform and I can say these things. And then these things get out into the rumor sphere. And then it's going around, Randy hacked into a computer, or Randy did this, and Randy, you know, and it's just, it's given voice to really, just crazy people. They're just crazy. And it also gives us an opportunity to not think before we speak. And I'm guilty of it too. I've gone on Facebook and I've said things that, looking back, geez, I shouldn't have probably said that. I should have kept my mouth shut. Because it's so easy to do, right? All we have to do is type away, and we can put out a statement to hundreds of people. So I think a lot of us are guilty of it, but I think the venom in this election on Facebook in this city, the homophobic hatred that was put out there against Councilman Napier was just vile. It was just despicable, and I'm sorry that had to happen. But you know what, Cynthia? It's unfortunately, it's just part of our, not only our political discourse, but just part of how we treat each other as human beings through this social media. And I don't know, it just could be the downfall of all of humanity, to be honest with you.
Well, that remains to be seen. So, you know, as political events evolve in the city of Cohoes, I'd like to have you back on Focus on Albany to share your thoughts.
Well, absolutely. And Cynthia, I applaud you for, having this platform, to have honest dialogue and have people come on. And you know what? It gets us off Facebook, and we go on and we have a dialogue with you. And, you know, this is how it should be. You know, people should be coming on and having, open dialogue and letting people be informed. So I applaud you for your continued efforts here in the story that is Cohoes.
So in 7 more shows, I'll hit 1,000 podcasts, which, you know, I've been plugging along with this for the past 6.5 years, and I'm up to 1,000 podcasts now. So,
well,
I'm really pleased
unbelievable,
about
right.
that.
And you should be very pleased, and I applaud you. Like I said, and we've done a lot of shows on a lot of topics, and I think you'll be here's to 1,000 more.
Thank you. So you've been listening to Randy Kanifka, and if you like Focus on Albany, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. If you have a comment about this show, #FocusOnAlbany. Thank you. Have a great day.